You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
We continue getting bits and pieces of understanding, slightly different narratives, slightly more in-depth narratives about what happened with the robbery at Cyril Ramaphosa's Phala Phala farm, both leading up to the robbery, during the robbery, and what happened afterwards. We're still a long, 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 long way away from a clear, unequivocally, consensually accepted picture of what happened, but not through any action of Cyril Ramaphosa's or the authorities, but rather through the media, we get to find out bits and pieces. Jeff Wicks is an investigative reporter with News 24. And Jeff, you managed to track down the domestic worker who was apparently, reportedly, allegedly, up until now, part of the robbery. And when you found her, she said, robbery? What robbery? First of all, how did you get to her?
Well, it took a fair amount of doing, John. We spent a good couple of days in Limpopo, sort of following a trail left by the only untested version that's in the public domain at this stage, and that's of Arthur Fraser. And we started in a place called Safest Kale, and we eventually found our way to the settlement of Fingerkraal near the Phala Phala Lodge itself.
And was she keen to talk, or did you have to twist her arm in a metaphorical way?
No, she didn't take much convincing at all. We showed up and we introduced ourselves, and we basically put every singular version or allegation to her, and she denied everything down to the Facebook profile with all of her photographs and her name that is closely linked to one of the so-called chief suspects in this, Emanuela David.
Yeah, I mean, you said to she said, I don't know any of these people. I've never met them. And you said, but you're Facebook friends with the man who is supposed to have led the whole robbery team. And she said that what, her Facebook account had been hacked?
She claimed that her phones were stolen and that the thieves, using all the pictures on her phone, registered a Facebook profile in her name. And I think you made the point in your preamble is that there's not much that's known about this because all manner of officialdom has remained very silent. And as we get closer to the core individuals in this group or at the center of the saga, we start to learn more and more. And her denial just muddies the water somewhat.
I find it really hard to believe that whoever stole her phones would then use that theft to link her without any factual basis to Emanuela David. So that makes me think that she was lying, to put it bluntly. What was your sense?
It was somewhat thin, but her denials didn't come as a surprise because after spending several days in the area, we found that not many people want to speak very freely about this, and any information had to be really elicited with a fair amount of effort. Even finding where she lived in Fingerkraal took 3 days because people simply denied knowing her until we managed to actually place her at a singular home.
Is she still working at Phala Phala? Were you able to establish that?
Yes, so she says, on maternity leave at the moment, but she maintains she's never been subject to any sort of disciplinary action, extrajudicial or not, and is just taking some time to recover from the birth and then will return.
So the allegation in Arthur Fraser's affidavit that Cyril Ramaphosa had a conversation with her and her father and had then decided to forgive her and take her back into employ, she would have denied that because she was not involved in any way.
Absolutely. He denied any knowledge even that the robbery took place at the time.
Look, you've been looking into this for... When did it break? What date did Arthur Fraser...
He registered his case on the 1st of June.
1st of June. So we've had now effectively close to 4 weeks it is.
Correct.
What is your best guess at the moment on the basis of what you have found through the investigations and you and your colleagues have done? What is your best guess as to something which approaches the truth of what might have happened?
Well, it's very difficult to speculate, John, but I think what we've established so far, certainly us and the other cohort of journalists on the story, is that those named by Arthur Fraser certainly underwent a dramatic lifestyle shift, from cars to jewelry to properties. And that has yet to be explained. And I think the key in this entire thing is to follow the money. And the money starts with them.
It seems to me that it is reasonable to accept that there was, well, not reasonable to accept that there was a robbery, because Cyril Ramaphosa has conceded that there was a robbery. And although the figure of $4 to $8 million is being disputed, we don't have an alternative figure which has been put on the table by the Ramaphosa camp. So we are left with Cyril Ramaphosa's concession that there was a robbery, Arthur Fraser saying these were the people who were involved with the robbery, and those people at about that time showing a significant increase in disposable income.
It seems like you and I have the same spider web drawn on our walls.
Yeah, and this is where, because there's so many different strands to this when one's trying to discuss it and think about it. The issue of Forex, if it was dollars, and whether it was declared or not, whether it's declared to SARS, whether VAT is paid. That's one stream of the inquiry, which is going to be very difficult to get any more on, because it's almost impossible to get leaks out of the Financial Intelligence Center and SARS. So that is a dead end until we get something official from the state. But that other side of it, I mean, what happened afterwards? The narrative that Cyril Ramaphosa said to Wally Ruerda, head of his protection unit, "I've been robbed," in a phone call from Addis Ababa, "I've been robbed, will you look into it?" And then it seems highly credible, doesn't it, Jeff, that looking into it involved using arms of the state. There's now been talk of Peter Jacobs of crime intelligence being involved, that looking into it bypassed the normal channels that would be put into place when a robbery was reported.
It certainly stands to reason, John. I mean, there are mechanisms through which an investigation can take place discreetly outside of your formal everyday going to police station and reporting it. But what becomes interesting is this blanket denial and any sort of inkling to release any further information, especially in the face of very embarrassing statements from the Namibian police, saying that both of us knew what was going on. We shared information for you, crossed the border into no man's land. And this man was essentially allowed to spend a couple of months in jail and then be deported. And then on returning, just picked up the lavish lifestyle where he left off. I mean, an early part of our coverage saw us find out that he spent 250,000 rand on diamond studded teeth. And that happened 6 months after he was deported from Namibia.
Yeah, and then, you know, I've left with these other questions, and you've sat with this on a probably an 18-hour-a-day basis for 4 weeks, so maybe you have some thoughts. Now I'm expected to believe that Cyril Ramaphosa didn't inquire from Wally Ruerda about what had happened to the theft of X number of rands in dollars, and or that he said to Wally Ruerda what happened, and Wally Ruerda said, "Don't worry, it's sorted." But, you know, why would Cyril Ramaphosa, because the implication is that either implicitly or explicitly, this was kept silent so as to what? Not embarrass the president.
Well, that's one narrative. And the problem is that this is a matter that centers on the sitting president of the state. It's highly embarrassing. And it continues to be embarrassing when all of these narratives and theories continue to swirl without any sort of clarity. And if my memory serves me correctly, when the president first spoke on this, which was right in the wake of it, I believe he said that they were doing some sort of reconciliation on game sales and then clarity would be provided. I can't imagine that that's a full-scale deep dive audit, and it's something that should have been concluded by now. And the reality is the public deserves to be taken into the president's confidence on this.
And that ain't going to happen, not anytime soon. Jeff Wicks, thank you very much for talking to us. I'm a little less confused after that conversation, but I'm still pretty confused. Jeff Wicks is an investigative journalist with News 24.